It just so you're, in case you're wondering, but anyway, if you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, we're going to, light crowd or what have you, we are going to continue our series of studies, and I'm going to, end the discussion here of the issue of forgiving one another, and we'll be moving on next Sunday. I want you to get Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 30, 31, and 32. And then we'll start with a word of prayer. I'm going to not have much by way of introduction this morning. I'm just going to kind of get right into it. And when I'm done, we'll be, I might end early actually for once, okay? For Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We are grateful for those who have been able to make it out this morning and study your word. We pray that they'll be edified. We pray for those who might be watching via the internet and YouTube that they also will get something out of this as we think about the issue of forgiving one another. And as we continue our series of studies here on bodybuilding and building up the church, the body of Christ, we're grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ and for this time we can spend in your word. Christ's name, amen. So last Sunday we talked about verses 30 and 31. We talked about the issue of grieving the Holy Spirit. We looked at the vices of the flesh that are identified in verse 31. The bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all malice. We talked about what all that was. For the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to rehash all of that and reiterate all of that. That information is provided to you in last Sunday's study on the internet. And available on the church's website if you're interested in that. And then we got into verse 32, and we spent a considerable amount of time with the first part of the verse, where it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." And we talked about the contrast between the vices of the flesh in verse 31 and the walk of the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind, and how the vices of the flesh there in verse 31, the bitterness, the wrath, the clamor, and so forth, that those are the results of walking after the flesh, and how those are contrasted in verse 32 with the fruit of the Spirit, the being kind one to another, tenderhearted. And we looked at how God is kind toward us. We looked at how God is tenderhearted towards us. And we looked at how the admonitions here, the teaching here that Paul is giving for us to be kind and tenderhearted are really to be reflections of who God is and who He's made us to be in His Son. And so we don't have to like look real far or hard to find what it means to be kind and tenderhearted. We can just look to God, God the Father, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand what that is through His action on our behalf and what He's done toward us. And then we take that and we let the life of Christ be manifest in us as we switch off the flesh and switch on the Spirit, right? We put off the old man and we put on the new man. And we've been over those things in a lot of detail here in the last few weeks leading up to our study here of verse 32. So if we look at verse 32, we talked about the first bit last Sunday, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And then we get to the meat of this, okay? The thing that we've been driving at now for the last three or four Sundays, in the statement there, forgiving one another. Okay? So you're to be kind, we're to be kind, tenderhearted, kind one to another. So there's a one anothering. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now I'm going to get technical with you just for a minute to make a point. Okay? The verb translated forgiving is a present participle in Greek which expresses a continuous or repeated action. Okay? That's why in English, it's not forgave. It's not forgive. It's what? Forgiving, right? There's the ing. In English, there's the ing at the end of that word. The reason there's an ing at the end of that word is to communicate to you that this, us forgiving one another, is an ongoing, continuous what? Process, right? It is something that is to be ongoing. The ing at the end of the verb forgive in English is the result of that technicality in the underlying language, okay? Paul, in the present, so it's present, in the present, Paul is instructing the Ephesians to be forgiving, okay? to be forgiving in a continued and ongoing manner. Okay? So it's not like, it's the same idea with the renewing of the mind, right? You don't wake up tomorrow, oh, my mind's renewed, I'm all good to go, I don't have to worry about this anymore, right? No, it's the renewing of the mind. It's the continuous ongoing process of the renewing of the mind. Well, the same thing is true here with forgiving one another. Might it be the case that a believer does something today to offend you? Maybe, maybe not, right? If they do, are you to be ongoing in your forgiveness, okay? Forgiving one another. So there's a reason why it's the ing there at the end of forgiving. It's a continuous, ongoing process. It's a repeated action. It's something that as believers, we are going to have to be always mindful of and aware of. Same thing with the renewing of the mind by way of comparison. Now, it's interesting. If you look up the word forgiving, I've got two different dictionaries that I looked it up in that I want to share with you what they said, okay? The first one, Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828, defines forgiving with the ing on the end as the following: pardoning, remitting. That's the first definition. The second definition means disposed to forgive, inclined to overlook offenses. Forgiving is the idea of overlooking what? Offenses. Somebody has offended me. There's been an offense committed. They've done something. They've said something. There's been something that's occurred, and I didn't like it or whatever. It hurt me. It wounded me, whatever the case may be. The idea of forgiving is an inclination to overlook offenses. It also, in the second definition in that particular dictionary, says mild, merciful, compassionate, as in a forgiving temper. So, in other words, somebody who is inclined towards being able to forgive, being inclined towards overlooking the offenses against them, and so forth. So that's the way one dictionary defined the English word forgiving. A more thorough dictionary is the Oxford English Dictionary, and it's got a lot of different meanings for the word forgiving, and I want to share with you just two of them that are relevant to our conversation. The first definition that I want to share with you from the Oxford English Dictionary means to give up. Forgiving, to give up, to cease the harboring of resentment and wrath. I like that definition, okay? To give up, to cease the harboring of resentment and wrath. Also, secondly, is the idea of to give up resentment against, to pardon an offender, and then I really like this last part here where it says to abandon one's claim against. Think about the way people are about forgiving. Somebody does something, it upsets them, it offends them, it hurts them, it wounds them, whatever the case may be, and now they've got this claim against that person. They've got this claim against them, and they don't want to forgive it. They don't want to let it go. They don't want to cease the harboring of that resentment. They want to continually what? Hold it over the person. They want to continually bring it up. They want all relationships from now on, henceforth and forever, to be on the basis of this wrong, this wound, this thing that was done that offended them, right? And so they continue to hold on to the claim. They continue to bring it up and mention it and make it known, and the other person is never able to walk away from it because it's continually brought up and held over their head. The idea of forgiving is the idea of abandoning those claims that we have against each other, about not making the choice not to bring them up anymore, about making the choice to not harbor that anger, to not harbor that resentment, okay? This is the idea of forgiving that this verse is talking about, okay? Look at it again, verse 32. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another. Who are we to be forgiving towards in that verse? We are to be forgiving towards one another, okay? We're to be forgiving towards one another. Who or what is the target of this continuous and repeated action of forgiveness? The target is one another. The target is each other. The target is ourselves as members of the body of Christ. So as saints here, Paul is saying that we are to be reciprocating towards one another in the area of forgiveness. Okay? That in our reciprocation in forgiveness, what we are doing is we are letting go of the claims, one's claim against us. We are letting it go. We are not choosing to harbor bitterness and resentment and wrath and anger and so forth. We're giving up on that, okay? We're not allowing that to be the thing that has dominion over us. We're allowing ourselves to walk away from that, and we're doing this towards each other, and we're doing it in an ongoing, unrepeatable manner, in a continuous way. And as saints, this is how we're to be reciprocating towards each other as a result. Now, I don't know about you, but your flesh, my flesh, our flesh doesn't like this idea, because our flesh thinks that when somebody wrongs us, we need to get what? We need to get even. We need to get payback. We need to get ours. We need to make sure that there's justice here, right? That it's satisfied somehow. And so we go out and we strike out to endeavor to get that justice, to get that rectitude that we think we deserve, right? And what this, in this context of this passage, and one of the reasons I spent so much time teaching the verses leading up to this verse, is so that you could see that when you get to this issue of forgiving, what you're really talking about doing is allowing the new man, allowing who you are in Christ, to manifest itself in a way where you are willing to let the missteps and the faults and the hurts and the wounds of others go. And why are you willing to do that? The reason you're willing to do that is because you know that you yourself are just as capable of doing the exact same what? Things. We're just as capable of doing the exact same things. Listen, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I asked you this last Sunday, I'll ask it again. Raise your hand if you've never been involved with any of that stuff. Raise your hand if you think you'll never be involved with any of that stuff again. So that means then that what we are in need of then is constant, ongoing, and continuous forgiving attitude from other members of the body of Christ. Because we are just as capable ourselves as making the same mistakes and missteps and so forth as our fellow believers are. But now look at verse 32. It goes on. We're not done with it yet. It goes on. It says, forgiving one another. Now, what's the reason? Why should I, as the definition said, abandon one's claim against? Maybe somebody has literally done something against me. Maybe they've stolen from me. Okay? Maybe they've spread false lies about me. Maybe they've, you know, done something to somehow wound my wife or my children. Or maybe I've got a real claim. Maybe I've got a legitimate beef. Maybe there's something going on here that I would be well within my rights to want some sort of restitution for. Okay? The definition of forgiving, again, is to abandon one's claim against. To let it what? Go. So on what basis do we do this? Well, look at what the verse says. Even. So we're forgiving one another there, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. So on what authority, on what morality are we to be forgiving ongoing with each other? It's to be based upon the way Christ, the way God the Father through Christ is toward who? Toward us, okay? So it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I want you to just think this through with me, okay? That verse says at the end, hath forgiven. Now, is that past, present, or future? Hath forgiven. That's past, okay? That's past tense. So think about what this verse is saying. Our continuous and ongoing forgiveness of one another in the present is based upon a past completed act of forgiveness. So me being forgiving now in the present is based upon a past completed act of forgiveness. The fact that God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven me. So the reason I forgive one another, I'm forgiving one to another in the present, is because I understand that God, for Christ's sake, hath already what? Forgiven me, okay? So again, our continuous ongoing forgiveness of one another in the present is based upon a past completed act of forgiveness. The expression there, hath forgiven, is past tense. God the Father has already totally forgiven us on the basis of the shed blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So me being forgiving with one another in the present is based upon a past point where I was forgiven. Hold your hand there and go to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In this context, Paul is talking about all of our spiritual blessings. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath what? Blessed. The phrase hath blessed, is that past, present, or future? That's past, right? Hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? One of those spiritual blessings is found in verse 7. There's a whole bunch of them here that he talks about. A few months back, maybe first of the year, thereabouts, I did a sermon on the greatest sentences ever written, and we talked about Ephesians chapter 1 here. One of the spiritual blessings is in verse 7. Notice what it says. In whom we have redemption, how? Through His blood. The forgiveness of what? Sins. Notice how sins is spelled. It is spelled S-I-N what? S. Has the Lord Jesus Christ forgiven you of all of your sins? Amen. A believer today has total, complete forgiveness of sins. All their sins has been forgiven according to the riches of His what? Grace. Now you have to understand this, right? You have to wrap your mind around the fact that God has forgiven you of all your sins. The reason you have to wrap your mind around that is because that is the basis that the believer is beseeched to be forgiving, right? The reason we should be forgiving one another is even as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven you, right? So He's already forgiven you. He's already taken care of all of your sins. What is God doing in having forgiven you? You know what He's doing? He is no longer holding His claim against you. That's what He's doing. He's made a choice. He's made a choice to say, you know what? I'm good with Brian Ross. And the reason I'm good with Brian Ross is not because Brian Ross is so great and wonderful, but because Brian Ross is in my Son, and I'm really glad and I'm really pleased with my Son. And because I'm really pleased with my Son, I can be really pleased with who? Brian Ross. Not because Brian Ross is great, wonderful, and so forth, but because Brian Ross is where? In my Son. And in my Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, can God the Father forgive me and release His claim against me. Sometimes you hear people say, and I'm just going to say this, that forgiveness means to forgive and forget. You ever hear somebody say that? I don't think that's right, personally. Has the Godhead forgotten? Has God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, have they forgotten what it took to forgive me of my sin? No. What did it take to forgive me of my sin? It took the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf, right? It took Him stepping into the gap on my behalf and shedding His blood and experiencing the wrath of God and the separation from God there on the cross on my behalf, right? They have not forgotten what it took to forgive me, But what they are choosing to do is not bring it up again and not hold it against me. They have released their claim. They have, now think about that. If I were to die in an unsaved state, if I were to die in my natural state, if I were to die dead in trespasses and sins, would I have had the wrath of God abiding upon me? Now think about the definition of forgiveness. The definition of forgiveness, again, to give up or to cease the harborment of resentment and wrath. So why should I forgive other people? The reason I should forgive other people is because I have already been forgiven in whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has given up His claims against me because the Godhead is satisfied with the work of God the Son. Come to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 14. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. How's that verse end? Even the forgiveness of what? Sins. You have redemption and forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It says here, buried with Him in baptism. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, watch, having. Past, present, or future. Having forgiven you some trespasses. What's it say? All trespasses. Did Jesus Christ die for all your sin, pay for all your sin, and forgive you of all your sin? Now understand, Jesus Christ paid the redemption price at Calvary. Okay? There's confusion out there right now in the body of Christ about how and when someone is forgiven. You are not forgiven at the cross. The sin debt was paid for you at the cross. You're forgiven the moment that you believe and trust and by faith appropriate that payment to your own personal account. And when you do, are you justified and forgiven of all your sin? Okay? And that is who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the total forgiveness of all of our sin, past, present, and future, and we are complete, we are justified, and we are redeemed, and we are made right with God through the death of His Son on the basis of what Christ did for us. Now come up, you're in Colossians, go to chapter 3. Look with me at verse 13. Forbearing one another. So again, that's the beginning of Ephesians 4. That's Ephesians 4, verse 2. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Same statement there. Forgiving one another. Watch. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay? So as members of the body of Christ, here's the point. As members of the body of Christ, our forgiveness is not conditional. We got forgiven by the grace of God through the work of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And He says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So if I've got a quarrel against this person, or there's a disagreement or a misunderstanding or whatever the case may be, right? What does that verse instruct me to do? It instructs me to forgive that person on the basis of the fact that Christ has already what? Forgiven me. So in this verse, members of the body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ, our forgiveness is not conditional. We are instructed to forgive because we have already been what? Forgiven. Okay? We are not instructed to forgive so that we can get what? Forgiven. Now, are there verses in your Bible that teach conditional forgiveness? Well, let's go look at them. Come to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Folks, this is why you need to rightly divide the word of truth. This is why you need to understand the difference between God's dealing with Israel in time past and the way God is dealing with us today as members of the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace. There's a famous prayer here, repeated mindlessly at denominational meetings all around the world today. Okay? It is called the Lord's Prayer. It is extracted out of a context where God is talking to the nation of Israel about the kingdom and about what the kingdom would be like when it's established. And right here within these verses is a conditional form of forgiveness that is the exact opposite of what we just saw in Paul's epistles. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive who?" Now, what is that verse saying? That verse is saying that I get my debt forgiven as I forgive people, as I forgive my debtors. So, is me getting my debt forgiven conditioned there in that verse upon whether or not I forgive? Look at the next part. "And lead us not into temptation," verse 13, "but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive" who? You. So in that verse, what do I have to do? If I want to get forgiven, what do I have to do? I've got to forgive other people. Verse 15. "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your" what? Now, folks, if you can read English and have a brain, you can understand that is that the exact opposite of what we just read in Ephesians and Colossians? That is the exact opposite teaching about forgiveness, okay? Now, did the same Holy Spirit lead Matthew by inspiration to write that? In Matthew chapter 6 right there. That same Holy Spirit that led Matthew to write that led Paul in Ephesians and Colossians to make a totally different what? Statement about the issue of forgiveness, right? Now here's the thing. Matthew 6 is in the so-called Sermon on the Mount. The majority of professing Christendom thinks that the Sermon on the Mount is where they get their instructions for how to live godly in Christ Jesus today as members of the church, the body of Christ. The problem with that, though, is that it's teaching you conditional forgiveness. That if you want your sins forgiven, you need to what? Forgive. What Paul is saying is the exact opposite. No, you forgive because God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. Come to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. It says here, "When ye stand praying, forgive." What's the next word? If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your" what? Very clear, folks. In that verse, if I want my trespasses forgiven, what do I need to do? Need to forgive. So I forgive in order to get what? Forgiveness. Verse 26. "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven," do what? Pretty clear statement, right? Now look at the language of that. Is all that language there conditional? If you do this, then you'll get that. Forgiveness. If you don't forgive, then you won't what? Get that. Now, why would that be? That would be because Israel, in this context, is under what? The law. They are under a conditional statement, a conditional covenant with God at this time, and it is still in action, and it is still in force. Just because you turn the page from Malachi to Matthew and entered into the so-called New Testament does not automatically mean that every instruction there is for you and to you today as a member of the church, the body of Christ. We need to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written to the nation of Israel in time past. explaining who Jesus Christ was for them as a fulfillment of the covenants of promise that God made with the fathers back there in time past, right? And so when we read Paul's instructions, and they're totally different, the Bible is not contradicting itself. The Bible is not all of a sudden, oh man, there's a problem, chuck the Bible out the window because it's not reliable. No, what you need to do is do what the Bible told you to do and rightly divide what? The word of truth. The problem's not with the Bible. The problem is with your understanding of what? The Bible. Okay, these verses of conditional forgiveness are not for us today as members of the church, the body of Christ. They were for Israel in time past under the law. Look at Luke 6. Now, folks, though, but can you make a mess of things? I know people in my life, I know people in my family that will go back to these verses and that will hold unforgiveness over somebody's head and beat them with it like a cane because of those verses. You want free. The reason why you don't have any peace, the reason why you don't have any, the reason why your life is going as it is and is terrible and awful and so forth is because you haven't what? You haven't forgiven men their trespasses. And so as a result, God is holding sin against you. He's not forgiving you your trespasses. And if you would just forgive men their trespasses, then God would forgive you and everything would be what? Peachy keen. Are there verses in your Bible that you could use in that way to manipulate somebody with and be completely scriptural doing it? Yes. The issue is not all those verses are scriptural. The issue is, are they dispensational? Are they being applied in their appropriate use to a person today living in 2019 as a member of the body of Christ, not under the law, but under what? Grace. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be what? Forgiven. Folks, come back with me to Ephesians. These verses here highlight why it is an imperative to rightly divide the word of truth. God's instructions to Israel under the law concerning forgiveness are the opposite of Paul's instructions to the body of Christ under grace in his epistles. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I want you to think about that phrase there. For Christ's sake. Okay? For Christ's sake. And I want you to think through sort of the logic of this with me, if you would, for a minute. If God, on account of the work of His Son, is no longer holding our sins against us, who are we to hold other people's sins against them? Let me say it again. If God, on account of the work of the Spirit, is no longer holding our sins against us, who are we to hold other people's sins against them? Once again, we are to be reflective of who? Christ. So why am I supposed to forgive these other members of the body of Christ? Why am I supposed to be forgiving one another? The reason is because God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven me. So in other words, would I want another member of the body of Christ to treat me any differently than the way Christ treats me? No. Should I, as a member of the body of Christ, treat another member of the body of Christ any different than the way Christ treats me? The idea there, for Christ's sake, we forgive in the person of Christ. This is an interesting verse. Hold your hand there and come to 2 Corinthians 2. Come to 2 Corinthians 2. Paul in this context, he's talking about some situations in Corinth that he had addressed previous in 1 Corinthians and so on. And he comes to this interesting statement here. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 10. Notice what it says. Well, look at verse 9 first. For to this end also did I write. So he's talking about what he wrote in 1 Corinthians, okay? That I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Now, I believe that in part, what he's talking about is that situation in 1 Corinthians 5 where they had to put that guy out of the assembly, right? Where Paul tells him on the basis of that guy's behavior and conduct and so on and so forth, not to company with him and so forth, right? And so now he's referring back to some of those things. Look at verse 10. He says, Paul says, to whom ye forgive what? Anything. I forgive also. Watch. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of who? Christ. Paul says, my ability to forgive that situation, my ability to let that situation go, my ability to no longer hold that situation against that person came not from my flesh. It came not from my ability to do it and to just wash my hands of it and forget about it and walk away. He says at the end of verse 10 that it came in the person of who? It was Christ in Paul that allowed Paul to forgive that situation. When he says there in Ephesians 4:32, and he says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, when it says for Christ's sake, that's what it's talking about. For the sake of Christ, what would Christ do in this situation? Christ would what? Forgive. Christ would forgive. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. So as we think about this, what would the opposite of forgiving one another be? The opposite of forgiving one another would be to hold that thing, whatever it is, what? Over them, right? The opposite, to me, in the immediate context, would be verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with what? The opposite of forgiving one another is to harbor resentment and bitterness. Okay? And when you know what happens when we harbor bitterness and resentment? The harboring of bitterness and resentment bring us into the bondage of the old man. They bring us into the bondage of that old flesh programming. The course of the world. The way we thought, the way we functioned, the way we operated before we were what? Saved. Okay? The opposite of forgiving one another is to harbor resentment and bitterness, which will bring us under the bondage of the old man. And that's verse 22, by the way, where he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. When we harbor bitterness, when we harbor unforgiveness, when we harbor resentment, we're brought under the bondage and the authority and the control of the old man, okay, and not the liberty of the new man. And that's verse 24 in the context. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What would the new man do? What would the new man do when it's injured, hurt, and wounded? It would forgive as God for Christ's sake hath what? Forgiven. What would the old man do when it is injured, wounded, and so forth? It would speak out for number one. It would look for vengeance. It would look for wrath. It would look for getting even. Those kinds of things. Unforgiveness, folks. Unforgiveness is the root of bitterness. We become bitter and we have resentment when we don't forgive. Well, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You weren't there, and they didn't do it to you, so it's easy for you to stand up there and say, we should forgive. Listen, I'm not saying anything. God the Holy Spirit is saying it. I'm just trying to explain it to you. Probably doing a pretty poor job of it, but this is what God the Holy Spirit says. God the Holy Spirit says that as a saint of the Most High God, forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be kind, tender-hearted, and what? Forgiven. We become bitter and have resentment when we do not forgive. When we do not forgive, the vices of the flesh, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice manifest themselves. Because we're giving place unto those things. We're allowing those things to be the thing to have that control our thoughts, that control the way we process what's going on. It's not God, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's not the Word of God, it's not the truth of who we are in Christ, it's all that stuff. And you know what happens when you allow, see, if unforgiveness is the root of bitterness, and we become bitter and have resentment when we don't forgive, and that allows for the vices of the flesh and the old man to take over in your thought process, in the way you think, in the way you act, in the way you treat and behave towards others. If one allows unforgiveness to fester long enough, it produces depression and leads to physical symptoms and illness. There is an effect in your body. There is an effect on your physical state when you allow this stuff to have dominion over you. Now, I'm not saying that based upon the authority of any particular verse. I'm saying it based upon observation and inference upon what the Scriptures say. If I'm going to walk in bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking, And all these things here that verse 31 is talking about that are the opposite of kindness, tender-hearted, and forgiving, if I'm going to walk in those things are going to have an effect and an impact on my life. They're going to affect my relationships. They're going to affect the way I deal with my wife or my husband. They're going to affect the way that I deal with my kids, with my coworkers, with my other family members. Because if I'm not letting go, I'm always going to be looking to get what? Even. And the anger that I have in one isolated circumstance is now going to spill over into every circumstance, and I'm not going to be able to interpret or look at anything in my life rightly because I am fundamentally jaded by bitterness and wrath. Okay? And it may even affect my physical body. I might start to have symptoms and signs of depression. I might start to have other things going on in my physical body because of what I am allowing to have dominion over me. And it all goes back and started with simply not what? Forgiving. As a member of the body of Christ, now listen to me, I'm going to teach a study in a few weeks as part of this series on bodybuilding about you know, conflict resolution. Just because I forgive somebody does not mean I have to be their best what? Friend. There may be situations, there may be circumstances where I need to forgive, but that doesn't mean I act like a fool and I just go right back to the way things always were, right? There might be legitimate reasons to not want to associate with certain people or limit your association. And Paul says, as much as lieth in you, do what? Live peaceably with all men. We're going to get to that, right? But don't think that just because he's saying, this forgiveness, yes, it's for the other person, but you know who it's for as well? It's for yourself. Because if you don't forgive and you hold on to that stuff, it's a long, nasty road. And you're going to end up as a hermit living in a shack with no friends. Because no one's going to want to be with you. And you're not going to be able to stand or tolerate anybody else. You following what I'm saying? Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7. Same context as what we saw there when we looked at verse 10 a moment ago, but look at verse 7. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to what? Forgive him and comfort him. Now watch. Lest, perhaps, such a one should be swallowed up with over much what? Sorrow. You know what forgiveness does? It sets the other person what? Free. It sets them free. Not only does it set them free, it sets who free? It sets yourself free. When we don't forgive, go back to verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For I forgive anything to whom I forgave it. Now here, we already read this. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, why did Paul do that? Why did Paul apply the life of Christ? Why did Paul apply the grace principle of forgiveness? Why did he do that? Why did he behave this way toward this guy? Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Folks, you need to understand, as sure as you're sitting in that seat, the adversary is going to attempt to use unforgiveness and bitterness in your life to get an advantage over you. To get you to walk according to the course of the world, to get you to function in the old man, to get you to just not manifest the life of Christ in your mortal flesh. And he's going to use unforgiveness, and he's going to use bitterness, and he's going to use it to try to get an advantage over you. And Paul said, I forgave the guy. Christ in me, I was able to forgive the guy because I knew that if I didn't, I would give the adversary what? An advantage in my life. If you want to say, I don't care, brother, what you're saying, I'm not going to forgive that person. That's your decision. But just understand that when you make that decision, you are opening the door for the adversary to have dominion over your thinking and to get an advantage over you. Because forgiving one another as God for whose sake? Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christ in your life, Christ manifest in your mortal flesh, Christ showing up in your thinking is going to be able to process and say, you know what? I'm not so great myself, and Christ forgave me. I should really do what? And even going a step beyond that, knowing, yeah, you know what? I might have an instance in my life where I'm walking in anger and bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking towards somebody else, and I think maybe I might possibly want them to do what? Forgive me. We need to forgive other people. And I want to end here. Come to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to try to attempt to say this with all the authority that I can muster to do it. You and I need to learn to forgive ourselves. We have all made mistakes. We have all said things. We have all done things. We have all behaved in ways. We have all thought things that we're ashamed of, that we don't like about ourselves. And we need to not allow the adversary to gain an advantage of us in that way either. Because if he can get you thinking about what a terrible, awful, horrible person you are, and how could any of this stuff about what the Bible says about who I am in Christ, how could that be true of me? We need to learn to forgive ourselves just as much as we need to forgive other people. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. There's a whole lot going on here we don't have time to explain. I'm after one thing here, okay? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul says, this is what I do. I do this. If I don't do anything else, I do what? I do this one thing, okay? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are what? Before. If you're ashamed of your relationship with your spouse, if you're ashamed with what's happened with your children, if you've stepped out on your marriage, if you've done other things, whatever it is, okay, you need to forgive yourself. You need to forget about those things, and you need to realize, you know what you can do about the past? You can fuss, you can fume, you can whine, you can complain, you can do all of that, you can raise a ruckus, you can make smoke signals so they see you all the way on the other side of the world, but what you can't do is change any of it. You can't change any of it. What can you do? You can press on to what's what before you. You can, with resolve and determination of the Scripture, understand, yes, I did these things. Yes, that isn't who I am anymore. Understand those things are forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that I'm on to bigger and better things. And not allow the past and the sin and the mistakes and the things that you've done have dominion over your future. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. We need to grasp who we are in Christ. And we need to come to terms with how God sees us. And we need to stop walking around with guilt and shame over past failures. And we need not let our past mistakes keep us from doing the will of God from the heart in the present. I hope that makes sense to you. Go back to Ephesians. Maybe I'm not seeing this rightly, and if I'm not, somebody will no doubt let me know. But I personally see the issue of forgiving one another as sort of the culmination of all these things, where they all come together in an understanding of putting somebody else above who? Yourself. And the morality of that is demonstrated through how Christ treats me. If I'm ever in doubt about how I should act or what I should think, you know who's never going to lead me astray? Christ. And if I ask myself the question, how would Christ think, how would Christ act on this particular issue, you're never going to go wrong if you stay with the mind of Christ as communicated to you through the rightly divided Scripture and the indwelling Holy Spirit, who's able to take that Scripture and able to make the proper adjustments on the circuit board of your brain so that you're able to think and function and live godly in Christ Jesus and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time that we can spend together in your Word. We do look around and see many absent and gone for various reasons. We pray that they'll come back safe and be able to move on. We pray that they would take the time to get this information from this study that they've missed. Those of us that are here, we pray that we would understand, number one, that we're totally forgiven. Number two, that we have a brand new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are new creatures, that we need to manifest and demonstrate the life of Christ for Christ's sake in the way that we deal with each other, and that we need to forgive ourselves. We need to stop sabotaging our future by wallowing in the past. We're grateful for everything that you've done for us through Christ. In His name we pray, amen.